With the Commonwealth Games just around the corner in Birmingham, RNIB Connect Radio will be reporting from the Games, bringing you all the action, talking to some of our medalists and many of the participants as well. Really looking forward to it this year. So what we thought we'd do is catch up with British Blind Sports, a UK charity which promotes sport for people of all ages who are blind or partially sighted and looks to make things like sporting venues more accessible as well. Charlotte Lloyd joins us now. Are you looking forward to the Games?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I love live sport. I love attending matches and fixtures in my spare time. So I'm based in Coventry, so just around the corner from Birmingham. So absolutely really looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing some great sport.
So are you one of these people, Charlotte, that will watch any kind of sport, or do you have any particular favourites?
I do have my favourites. So I'm a big rugby fan. Leicester Tigers is my team. So anytime I can get to a rugby match, I'd always rather watch live sport than find something else on TV. If it's live sport on offer, I'll make an effort to get there.
Any particular events or athletes that you're hoping to catch then at the Commonwealth Games?
The athletics is always a great event to get to because there's such a wide range of sports in that one stadium, on that one. Like if you buy one ticket, you get to see such a range of different sports, you know, your track and your field events. So I know that Zach Shaw is going to be competing for England in the T12 sprinting. And he's one of only four athletes this year so far to go under, I think it's 11 seconds. So that's really exciting to get the chance to watch him compete.
I'm actually looking forward to the cycling. My colleague Toby will be covering that though at London. I just really enjoy the action, the velodrome, and you know, being a Scot, you know, I'm going to be supporting like Neil Fahey and Libby Clegg and Aileen McGlynn as well, but I'm really looking forward to that.
The velodrome in London is an excellent venue, and it'll be so exciting, like you say, you mentioned Neil and Libby there, like to see Libby, you know, she's a newcomer to cycling, even though she's a veteran of blind para sport, she's a newcomer to cycling. So it'd be really interesting to see how she gets on. And even though I am English, I'm looking forward to watching Neil as well, because obviously he's, I think it's 4-time Paralympic champion now. So I think he's in with a shout of becoming Scotland's most decorated athlete. So that'd be so exciting.
Yeah, looking forward to that. There's so much happening. And I think what I enjoy as well about the Games is everyone just comes together and it's completely integrated. It's not separate.
That is something that's amazing about the Commonwealth Games. You hear the athletes say it all the time about the real kind of unity and team feeling, because obviously with the Olympics and the Paralympics, it's almost two different teams. It's different medal tallies. But if a para athlete is winning a medal at the Commonwealth Games, it counts to the same medal tally as the mainstream athletes. And one ticket gets you to see disability sport and mainstream sport as well. It's not, so it exposes people to disability sport, whereas previously they might have had to consciously seek it out.
The Commonwealth Games obviously travels around the world. You know, they get some great venues, some great events as well. So this must be fantastic for the West Midlands, because there's so much happening in sport there at the moment.
Yeah, it's a really, really exciting time for Birmingham and the West Midlands. And this Games has got the largest para programme of any Commonwealth Games as well. So that's going to be great to see. It's going to be hosting the World Blind Games in 2023. So we like to view the Commonwealth as a bit of a warm up for that, for the main event, the World Blind Games happening. So yeah, that is really exciting, and a chance to kind of build some new venues around this area and make sure that it's not all of our sporting focus isn't just focused on London and the South, but we have got provision, you know, all over the country and great sporting venues on everyone's doorstep.
When the Games were in Glasgow in 2014, you know, that was fabulous. That was on my doorstep, and the weather was fabulous as well. And there was a real buzz around the city and all around about. It was just amazing having this global event there. But as you say, the IBSA Games are coming up next year as well, and I'm looking forward to that, because they're going to have 70 countries. There's going to be thousands of athletes and all their kind of support with them as well. So that's going to be another fantastic event.
We're really, really looking forward to it here at British Blind Sport, because obviously sport is what we do. It's what we live and breathe every day. So to have the World Blind Games with IBSA coming to our own nation is amazing. It's an opportunity that doesn't come around very often. So we're really, really looking forward to that, and hoping that we'll inspire so many, you know, blind and partially sighted people to take up sport. Everybody has to start somewhere. Everyone was a grassroots participant once, even if you see them on the podium winning their eighth gold medal or whatever it is in Neil Fackey's case. But yeah, it's amazing to kind of see such amazing talent on our doorstep. And like I say, hopefully it will inspire the next generation, because that's what it's all about, really.
Important point you make as well. You know, we're talking about athletes, you know, at that elite level at the moment. But, you know, we think about it, sport has so many benefits if you're blind or partially sighted. And probably a lot of people, you know, whatever their age, if they have a visual impairment, they probably think there's a lot of sports that aren't open to them. You know, they can't get involved in this sport or this kind of activity, even if they want to just do it for fun and increase their social kind of circle, if you like. I suppose that's where see sport definitely really comes into its own.
We get so many people turning up to our taster events and things and just saying, you know, we didn't know this was an option for us. We didn't know that this was something we could do. And we'd be hard pushed to find a sport out there that wasn't willing somewhere to make the adaptation to be able to include blind and partially sighted people. And, you know, sometimes that adaptation is so minimal. Like, it's just adding, you know, an audible ball or making other people aware around you that you have got a visual impairment and you might need a bit more space or need to approach an activity in a slightly different way. But, you know, they're really, really simple adaptations that people can make to make sport accessible. And that is kind of, like you say, what we're trying to do with See Sport Differently is really inspire blind and partially sighted people to get involved in sport. Because, you know, I play sport for the social element. I'm not a particularly amazing sports person. You know, I'm never going to be winning any medals or, you know, coming close to even competing at a high level. But I do it because that's where I make my friends. And, you know, it's where I relieve my stress after a long day at work or something like that. And, you know, everybody should have that access to sport and everybody should be able to have those experiences. And we really are really passionate about that at BBS and through the See Sport Differently project with the RNIB, that we want to make that the norm for people.
The Have a Go days that you do around the year, around the country, are amazing. As you say, it gives people a chance just to try new sports and see what they think. And they can even take them up in the local area. And I think it's also important to mention, you know, sport can be just activities as well. And you know, for all ages, because British Blind Sport does a lot with the little ones as well to get them sort of moving and exploring.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just about sport, as you say, it's physical activity. And that might just be going for a walk. Like, it's something as simple as that. But yeah, we do a lot of work with the juniors. We have run our programme called First Steps, which is for children between the ages of 3 and 11. And they get sent an activity pack with an audible ball and like follow along instruction guide to kind of get them through those first steps of movement into being active and into understanding kind of how the body works and why it's important to keep fit and active. And it's a really, really popular program, and we see a lot of our First Steps families coming to our Have a Go days now. It's really great to see, because that's kind of like a transition from they've done the activity pack at home with the audible ball and then they're moving on to our Have a Go days and they're trying like organized sport for the first time, and then hopefully they go on to join a club and it becomes a more regular kind of journey through sport and physical activity.
We could probably talk for ages, Charlotte, about all the different opportunities that are there for blind people and partially sighted people of all ages with British Blind Sport. But if they would like to find out about what's on offer, how do they get in touch?
So you can visit our website, which is britishblindsport.org.uk, or just give us a ring. Our office is open Monday to Friday, so someone will answer. The number's 01926 424 247.
Well, Charlotte, enjoy the games. Hope you get all the tickets you're hoping for. And thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.